You know, I thank God for today. I always thank God for giving us the privilege to gather. You know, if there is no gathering, the hope of having a people that are of God does not exist. Without the gathering, there can never be the army of God. Huh? There can never be the army of God. That's why online gathering is not a substitution for physical gathering. Praise God. Hallelujah. Online gathering is what? Is not a substitution. Praise God. Online gathering is not a substitution for physical gathering. Huh? It can't. We have to gather and learn, right? Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, the biggest attack that can happen to a man is when he stops gathering. Eh? When you do not belong to an apostolic center. Eh? What that means is that the Lord is not speaking to you. You understand that? Because God is speaking to his church. Are you with me?
Yes,
so when it means that there is no more progress, you see, in your advancement in the things of God. And that's a very dangerous place. You know, the most dangerous places to be, you see, they are not physically scary. When you say that's a dangerous place to be, you will not see blood. They are usually air conditioned. I tell you, the most terrible conditions cannot be physically discerned. The most terrible conditions, you know, the Bible spoke about how they provoked the Lord, they tempted him, they murmured, and then he sent them bread, he sent them meat, but also sent leanness to their soul. I don't know if you are aware or you know where they sell an equipment that can be used to measure whose soul is lean and whose soul is fat. So you can see that when you look in the flesh, you can see meat, which looks like success, right? But it doesn't mean that the soul is not what? Is not lean. So you see, the most dangerous places to be in are not bloody. They are usually very cozy because it should never fall lara. You understand? Pastor Dara, did you understand that? It should never fall lara. Issue, not issue. It should never fall lara. I can't really interpret that. You see, the enemy will not give you heads up. Or he won't want you to be aware. It doesn't describe it. Fuelara is a bit different. He won't want you to suspect. That's still not exact, but so it makes your condition cozy. You see. In the beginning stage, your soul will know it. After a while, your soul will love it. And so it's very important, you see. That's why one of the ways to be blessed early, physically blessed, early, quickly, is to walk out on God. Especially when God has a big plan for you in his presence. If God is delaying you, walk out on God and do it very brashly. You will notice that another club will sign you. Yeah, you sign. So that's a business idea for somebody. Maybe you have been struggling for a long time in your business and you want to really hit it big. You know, just walk out on God and do tattoo on your forehead, you know, and put your ring like I just got back. Praise God. He has suffered in my hands, I'm telling you. Are we together, friends? We have a lot of mileage to cover this. There is a download that needs to hit our spirit. This ground we are on, is a dangerous ground. Very, very dangerous. It's a dangerous ground. And you see, we are under serious attacks. Do you understand that? Not you. You are not under much attacks. But we are under serious attacks day and night. And it's because of the purposes of the Lord. Amen. What a privilege to be hated by Satan. You see, because it is a great thing that the one who hates the Lord hates us too. You know, it will not be a good thing if the one who hates your Lord, you know, has feelings for you. You know, that's a very bad thing. Where Satan starts reporting God to you. I say, can you see what your father is doing to me? Yeah, that's a very bad thing. So to be hated by Satan is such a very great, you know, privilege. You know, you should not, the privilege is not that Satan hates me. The privilege is that perhaps it's a proof that I am on the Lord's side. You know, that's the privilege. The privilege is to actually be, you see, on the Lord's side. Now, one of the things I want to say to everyone here is that, you see, we have been called there, you see, to set up for the Lord a nation. A what?
Nation.
A nation. Not a church. Not a what?
Not
a church. But a what?
Nation.
A nation. A nation. We have to experience a shift in our minds from church to a nation. I use the word nation because you would understand a nation better than you understand a kingdom. When I say kingdom, you are still going to try to be deep. You think it's revelation. So I prefer to say a nation. We must. See, if we don't build a nation, we have failed. No matter how big our church becomes, if we don't build a nation, we have what? We have to build a nation. A nation that is a replica. Are you with me? A replica of the new earth and the new heaven. We have to build a nation that looks that looks like the city of God. Are you with me? We have to build a nation. You see, a lot of us have been, our first introduction to the things of God is that we're introduced to church, which is a part of the nation. A lot of us have been introduced to Wednesday service and Sunday service. Some is Tuesday and Sunday. Some is Thursday and Sunday. Some is Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and vigil third Fridays. And I'm some now just Sundays, some online. So we have reduced it to church, which is good, it's a part of it. But you see, if that's all that we have, it will be a shame. So it's a nation. It's a nation in a nation. That's who we are. That's what we must build. You see, if the government collapses, can we survive? If the answer is no, we have not yet built a nation. Are we together with me?
Yes, sir.
We must build a nation. That is the mandate. That the Lord is reminding us, because it's not a new mandate. Are you together with me? We must build a nation. You know, And you know, a nation, that's why if we get there, we're going to talk about two dimensions of a nation. We're going to talk about the dimension of its culture and its power. Those are the two basic expressions of a nation, the culture and its power. But there is something very important about a nation. There is something about a nation, if it's a real nation. You see, a real nation has real tangible user experience. You see, a nation is not in words. Are you together with me? When you get to a nation, you can touch the things that make it a nation. And you can go to the places that describe the nation. Like, it's not, you see, Nigeria is not a revelation knowledge. Are you together with me? Like, there is a real place called Nigeria. And there are things that make Nigeria, Nigeria. We have a National Assembly. And if you go there, you will see the National Assembly. And you can engage the National Assembly. Nigeria has the judiciary. There are judges. You can, if you go there, you will meet and you can touch and feel the judges. They are real things. Are you together with me? And if you break the law, you will find out that the police will come. You know, today the VIO nearly arrested one of our members. Yeah. She didn't have some documents, so they were not going to let her go. So she called me. You see, when you are a pastor and also I had to rush down there and got her released. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's because there's a nation. You see, you can feel it. It's not in a storybook. You know, there are a lot of nations in a storybook. Have you read books of nations in a book? Nations that don't exist. I think Gabriel wrote one about a nation one time that people were trying to escape that nation to another planet. Sunrise at night. Yeah. Gabriel wrote to us about a particular nation that didn't exist. And we read that book. How many years ago did you write that book? 10 years ago. Yeah, I wrote that book 10 years ago. And I'm about it. They were trying to build a ship, or is it a ship or a plane? A rocket. What would that rocket do? It would move people to Mars. It was a real nation. Nigeria. So people were moving to Mars. All right. Praise God. So you see, there are a lot of things we read that you can't verify. You know, Peter Abu will say verify. Verify this, verify that. But what makes a nation is that, you see, there are a lot of nations that Nigerians talk about that don't exist. Have you received those mails about some kings that, you see, a particular king that left $25 billion and one guy is unable to have one key to buy a recharge card to access. To access the $25 billion, and he needs the girl to send him money so that both of them can go and live their life in Bahamas. You see, because he's the prince of that particular kingdom in Africa. Yeah. You see, but after she sends the money, she will find out that actually there is no nation. Is this mine? She'll find out that there is no nation. There's no king anywhere. No police. You see? So if it's a nation, it must have tangibles. It must be feelable. And what we can feel with our experience with that nation will tell us whether it's a good nation or a bad nation. Am I not correct? You see, when you go to Nigerian police station, I wish this was a vigil. I feel like taking us for 10 hours. Yeah. I feel like taking you for 10 hours. I'm telling you the truth. No, you are not ready. I feel like going for 10 because I want to break something over us. I'm telling you. These things, we can have shifts. You see, the thing about spiritual shift internally is that when your mind has shifted, then you have access to heaven's resource. The keys to a resource is the condition of your heart. So the reason for the ministry of the word is to initiate inside you the right numbers. When we have put the right number, it will lock, then you will enter another frequency. That's why people are not engaging heaven at the same level. It's based on the condition of their heart. So that's the reason for the ministry of the word. Not the teaching of the word. You can teach the word, and then you are not really doing the ministry of the word. There are levels, there are different levels to it. It's just that you can prophesy, and you are not giving the word of the Lord. And yet you are prophesying. And your prophecy is accurate. Because there's a level where prophecy is predictive. But there's another level where prophecy is releasing the mind of God. Do you understand? If I predict your future, I've prophesied. But your future is not necessarily, the future I predicted is not necessarily the word of the Lord for you. Are you together with me? Praise God. If somebody told Maverick about what's in his wardrobe and all of that, you see, it doesn't mean the person has told Maverick what I think about him. Yes, he has not necessarily given him the word of his father. I'm his Lord. So you can tell him about him, but it doesn't mean you have told him about what God wants to say to him. So that is different between prophesying and the word of the Lord. So there can be the word of the Lord in prophesying, but it's not every prophesying that has the word of the Lord in it. Do you get what I'm talking about? So let me continue what I'm saying. So you go to the Nigerian police, for example, and then you see, you will see that they will write it on the wall. Like it's written there. You see? And that's to let you know, you see, what you should not expect. It's like they wrote it so that you don't expect it. It's just like when you buy something and they write original on it. Do you understand? Like, how would somebody make something and he needs to label what he made original? Then you know that it's the person who didn't have the right to make it that made it, that now wants you to think is the original one. I will not have to write original. So when you say original Nike, so it's like what they write on the walls in Nigerian police station is not true. And then you find out that bail is quite expensive. You see, that's your experience with that part of that nation. You see, sometimes you need a document that you know you can get in a minute. You get in, you know, especially universities, you want to get your transcript. Do you understand? And then you find out that you can't get it. That's your experience with that. The nation exists. But you see, the nation is not a good nation. So you see, we must build. Are you together with me? Yes, praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we must build a nation that when the people experience what we have built, does it look like what God will want them to experience? Are they experiencing what God will have them experience? But you see that the day we will rejoice about what we have built, it's still very far. Huh? It's still what?
Very far.
It's still very far. If we are rejoicing now, then we don't even understand the assignment. The day we'll rejoice is still what?
Very far.
It's still far because the people's experience is not yet what God has in store for them. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's look at 1 Peter. Chapter 2. It's so sad because it has become very difficult to teach what should have been a basic teaching. The reason is because something else was taught to you a long time ago. So to erase that one is a tough thing, you see. Are you there? The Oyedirons gave us a baby. We've named the baby today. Victor and Jide. Praise God. We give God praise. Where's Jide? I thought he would be in church today. Okay, he's not your father. He has to watch over his baby. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Eh? So can you see that it's like you have two birth certificates? Don't you see this?
Yeah.
Because you're already an old man, and suddenly they are now calling you newborn babes. You see, if this letter was written, you see, it was not written as Bible. It was just written casually or just written naturally to you. And your parents see this letter. You see, your parents will say, who is insulting you? Do you understand? Because you're already 32. Why is somebody still calling you a newborn baby? Are you together with me? So it means that we have been born into a reality that is completely different from who we were before. Am I correct? You say that ye may grow thereby, right? If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So it's like there is a building going on. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
And that building, the more we build it well, that building releases something. You see, like there is a pleasure, there's an aroma. Are you together with me? That the building releases to God. You see, there is the presence of God, which is ultimate. But a right church, you see, a right church that is built as it should build also carries a presence. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. You don't get the point. Like there is a presence that the church also carries that God likes. Like there is a smell. Huh? There is a smell that the church has that rises to God. Now, you see, anytime believers gather at the level of family and at the level of, if we allow the word of God, you see, to determine how we are gathered, if we do that, we will be releasing an aroma to heaven. Yeah. So a family can be releasing, and there are some families that God is receiving, you see, sacrifices from, just by the way they are gathered. Because in the spirit, let me explain what I'm saying. Come, Gabriel, please, with your wife. See, look at when God created them, if God ordained them. You see, if God ordained them to be like this, when they are like this, if this is how God will have them be, when they are like this, and a sacrifice goes to heaven, they will carry a presence. Now, they are going to most likely start their journeys like this. Gabriel, you go there. You go to the back of the... This is how they are actually going to start their journey. Huh? This is where they were when they said they love each other. I tell you, but they didn't know. But this is what, when they get married. So when they get married, depending on his cooperation with the word of the Lord and her cooperation with the word of the Lord, then they will take the shape that God wants them to take. Because that was the shape God ordained them to take. Come. Come. So they are. You see, but it's not. But every day is not Christmas. You see, when they are getting it right, she will just go like this. You walk away again. Because she's angry and she has changed her mind. I said, this Bible thing, I don't want to do then. Then she repents because she's losing joy and peace. Then she's coming back. Then. Oh, this little drama I'm showing you, 15 years can go. Then they come together. There will still not be. It won't still. They are close, but they've not got it right. Then when they turn and get close, then because this is what God ordained, the aroma will now get to heaven. Yeah, the aroma gets to heaven. You see, at this level, what makes this, you see, the motivation, I want to give you an important lesson. You see, the motivation for this, the motivation for this and what will make this possible. You see, sometimes when you see this, you will think, ah, thank God he's now happy. Thank God she's now happy. No, happiness is not the motivation for this. In fact, happiness keeps taking them farther. The motivation for this is death. Yeah. The more any one of them worships happiness, they'll be going farther and farther and farther. So these people you are seeing there, why they are like this? Because they have died to themselves. That is now why they are like this. The more they want to be happy by force, the farther they will be going from themselves. You see? But now, so now you might see this and think it's happy that, such an happy man, such an happy woman. No. It's such a dead man and such a dead woman. You see? Then they will now bring sacrifices to the Lord God Almighty. All right, you can sit. So even a church, you see, there's a way God will have us to be. There is a formation God wants us to have. Are we together here?
Yes.
So that formation brings praise to the Lord. Now let's keep reading. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him. Now, give me the previous verse. You have to be quick. Ye also, as lively stones, you see, are built up a spiritual house, you see, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by. Somebody say bye.
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.
So when you look at that building, you see, of these lively stones, you see, the wisdom and the architect, the wisdom, the architect, and the architecture. The wisdom, the architect, the architecture of the whole building is Jesus Christ. So you see, so those stones, are you with me? Do not generate and initiate brilliance. The stones do not generate and they do not initiate brilliance.
You see, that the possibility to build them is by, meaning that there is an operating system or an operating wisdom or a reality that determines the shape of those stones. So it means that if there is a disconnect between the stone and Jesus Christ, it will not become a spiritual house. That the stone in itself is not a house, I don't know, except it is receiving wisdom from Jesus. So the wisdom of Jesus is what causes the stone to be formed. You see, if you are just born again, maybe last week, or you just got serious with God, you need to go to, what do we do? Believer's class. If you just got saved, maybe 6 months, 1 year, who is the believer's class teacher now? Who is the head of believer's class now? See, you need to stand up. You need to go to believer's class. Because some of the things that I'm saying now, it will be an architecture. Maybe if any man be in Christ, you need this one. I'm serious. You need to go here. As you are here, you are still being blessed. Something is happening to you. But you need to go here first and go and do it. You see, if you don't do it, your lack of doing it will do you. In the future, it will do you bad. So you better do it. So go to believer's class. And those of you who just got saved, or you just rededicated your life, you just got serious with God, and it's not more than a year, go to believer's class and do a systematic study of the Bible. You see, that will do you a lot of good. You will learn about the new batch. You will learn a lot of things. You see, praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, you can sit down. So the lively stones are formed because they derive wisdom. You see, wisdom from Jesus. And what I mean by wisdom is not wisdom to do like. That's what I'm talking about. I mean the very pattern of growth that they get is from Jesus. Let's read. Wherefore also it is contained in scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief. So you see, you are a cornerstone, you are lively stones. But I have laid what? A chief cornerstone, elect, precious. You see, and he that what? Believes on him. So all the other stones must focus on the chief cornerstone. If the other stones look at themselves, they'll enter trouble. Are you with me? If the cornerstones look at themselves, they will be in trouble. You see, the beauty, because the elected stone, are you with me? And the precious stone is the chief cornerstone, you see, that dictates pattern to us. The next verse. Unto you, therefore, which believeth, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling. You see? And a stone of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. You get the point now? You see, so it means that the chief cornerstone has a tool that he uses to administrate his life and his wisdom. That tool is called the word. You see, but there will be some people, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Who are going to be this disobedient to the word. They are born again, but they will be what? They will be disobedient to the word. Now, when they are disobedient to the word, you see, the chief cornerstone to them is no more the chief cornerstone. You see, the chief cornerstone has now become, you see, a stumbling stone. And it's now a rock of offense. Now, the reason why the chief cornerstone is a person called Jesus Christ. His tool is the word.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you're getting the point. This is a very serious point. It's tool, it's the word. But if you stumble at the word, if you disobey the word, he will now become your rock of offense. So it's like you and Jesus have issues. So a man can have issues with Jesus. You say, but the way to do it is that it will have issues with Bible. So you see, you cannot like disagree with a part of the Bible and you think you and God are in good terms. So let me give an example. You know, I always use marriage for my examples. Why? Because marriage is the obvious institution that describes Jesus and his church. So that's why I use it. So if a husband, for example, for whatever reason decides not to love his wife, maybe she has overdone it and he's done with loving her. You see, what will happen with that? Every time he opens the Bible, the only thing he will be saying in the Bible is, how many of you notice that when you want to disobey God, it's like everywhere, sometimes even Danfo will write the scripture. Yeah. Even Danfo will write the scripture for you. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Now, the thing you don't understand is that you think that issue is a one-off issue. It's not a one-off issue. That issue is going to be your stumbling block. And then Jesus, who should have been your chief cornerstone, has now become your rock of offense.
Yeah.
Your what? Your rock of offense. So you see, there is now a rock in your soul. Like you have a rock in your heart. So your heart is now hard. You are feeling, it's Christ that was there before. What you had was joy. But now your joy has been converted with hard heart. So you are no longer happy. Your heart is now strong. You understand? After a while, your face will start looking like a rock also.
Yeah.
You see, because you have converted him. You see, who should have been the chief cornerstone? You have converted him to what? To a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. It's a rock of offense. A rock of offense. And the reason is because you stumble at the word. And then why do you stumble at the word? You are being disobedient. You see? You are being disobedient. But there's a part we don't like to read, which is the next part. I say, one or two also, they were appointed. Like, sometimes you read some scriptures you don't want to do a teaching on. Like, it's difficult to believe that God appointed some people for this. Like, what example will I use this person for? Let me use this person to exemplify, you see, what it means to convert Jesus to a rock of offense. He said some people are appointed for that. I don't know. I see these things in scripture. I do as if I didn't see them, because what will I tell my people? You know, what will I tell them when I see it in scripture? It's not an encouraging thing. Do you understand? You know, and sometimes you might be caught in trying to help somebody who was appointed.
Wow.
What if that's the person's appointing? Like, I don't know. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't have a theology for it yet. But sometimes you look at Pharaoh's case, you try to use Greek and Hebrew to deceive yourself, but the thing is very serious. He said, God hardened his heart. And said, let me just use this guy for example of something. And then God will tell him to do something. It will be the same God that will harden his heart at the same time. And then, you see, don't live there. Don't live there. So let's not be disobedient to the word. Let's. Are you together with me? So you see, the word there. You see, the word of God is not for you to agree to it. Do you understand? It's not like, you see, you are used to, because you live in human right time. You know, human right time. You know, not it was not all seasons in life, in the existence on earth. There was a time where there was nothing called human right. Yeah. But we're born in human right time. So we don't understand some things. We're not really born in kingdom times. It says human right. So your brain is used to doing what you agree. That you agree before you can do a thing. Do you understand? Like you agree. And even sometimes in marriage, sometimes, you know, your wife, women sometimes think they have to agree. Like it has to make sense. Then I'll say, I agree. Do you understand? And sometimes when I'm discussing with my wife, a few times, they're like, this particular thing. She said, why are you doing it? I said, I'm just doing it like because it's like, as in just like Ed. Do you understand? Just like I'm Ed. And as Ed, this is what I said, but I think this is not right. Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts. You see, your thoughts are beautiful, but just like an Ed kind of thing. You know, I just want to be Ed. You see, yeah. So as Ed, we're just going this way. I thank you for saying your opinion, but in this particular matter, like, your opinion will not be taken. It will not be looked on. We're just going this way. Yeah. If you have a man who always tell you that, run away from him. You know, but a man who also can't tell you that, run away from him. But a man who always tell you that, run away from him. Who always run away from you. Frequently run away from him. Regularly run away from him. Do you understand? Often run away from him. But really, you know. But he has the ability to, a man must have the ability to carry his family to a direction. And say, on this matter, this is where we are. Because there are going to be such seasons in life where God is expecting you to lead your home. You see. But you must have a track record though. Yeah. You see. You must have a track record of sensibility. Do you understand? Because a woman who follows a man that doesn't have a track record of sensibility on very sensitive manner is in trouble also. You see? So that's another story for another day. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So when you are disobedient, so it's not every time you agree to the word. You just obey it. Huh?
Yes,
because it is there. You just do it. And later, maybe God will give you the explanation. Maybe not. But you just do it because it's the word of the Lord. You see, so that you won't have issues with the Lord. You see, I don't want you to think that God is asking you to do something and you are not doing it. And you think you and God are still good. You see, I don't want you to think that. You are starting to worship your own God. That is a figment of your imagination. If there's any matter God is like holding you on, like God is on your case, eh? Especially in a matter where God says you are wrong, I want you to go and apologize. Don't think you will not do that, that you will forget that apology. And you and God, you know, you are converting your chief cornerstone to a rock of offense. It was alone, am I any problem? And there's any problem already. You see? Are you together with me? And then one of the ways you can quickly grow in this kind of things I'm saying is that pray to God to hasten your death process. It makes it easier for you. I was telling somebody why I hear God. I told somebody, I said, you see, why it is easy for me to hear God? It's not because I have sharp ears or I'm special. No. You see, I said, the reason I hear God is because God has helped me to go through death. Meaning that I'm not priming God. P-R-I-M-E. Prime. Like, I'm not trying to get God to say a particular thing that I want to hear. You see? Those who must hear it something is proof that they are alive to self. You see, but when you are dead, it means that anything they say is good to you. Whenever you carry that posture, it will be easy for you to hear God. Because a lot of time, what blocks us from hearing God is the many things we wish to hear. You understand? So it's difficult to hear God. But when God has hastened your death process, it's very easy to hear God. Because God already knows that this one just wants to do what I've asked him to do. Are we together here? So, the word of the Lord helps us, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the next verse. Because we're still coming to this book, you know, as I begin to put them in about 5 points. There are about 5 points we need to look at. You see, but ye are a what? You are a chosen generation. You see, it's like, it's the same idea when Jesus called us the ecclesia. Huh? I will build my church. The word church is what? Ecclesia. Like a people that were what? Called out of a people. You see? So they are like a new type of people, a different breed of people. Are you together with me? It's like forming a new party. Huh? It was first PDP. You see, some people now came out of PDP. And them now form maybe APC. You know, it's still another political party. You can't form something out of a party and then your own turns to a football club. So it must still carry the spirit of a party. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So it still has to be a people. But yeah, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What? Holy nation. What are we?
Holy
it's a nation. We must build a nation. It's a nation. You see, and the idea behind a nation. You see, when we look at government, for example, the idea behind government is like a type of system that is instituted for the distribution and the sharing of the good of the land, of the resources of the land. That's the idea of a government. It is the principle by which we adopt to distribute the wealth of the land. That's the idea of a government. There are different types of government and there are different expressions of it. Sometimes it describes the peculiar interaction and the principles put in place that is the interaction between haves and haves not. Are you together with me? Now that's a natural terminology. But basically when we talk about governance, it's the tool employed by people or by people, you see, for the sharing and the distribution of good, of the good that it's in that land. So a government, you see, has solutions in it. That's, you see, that when you talk somebody is a minister, what he's saying that he's serving the people to solve a particular problem in a particular sector. So the Minister of Mineral Resources, for example, is to help us oversee the minerals that we have in the nation and look for how we can make the best of it so that the good of that mineral, are you together with me, everybody in that nation can experience it. So when we talk nation, we must mean that we are talking about governance. When we are talking about governance, it must also mean that we have problems and solutions being solved. Now, if there's going to be solving of problems and solutions, it must mean that there is expertise. Are we together here? Because it takes expertise to solve problems. Are we here? So when the Bible says that we're a holy nation, it must mean that there must be a base. There must be resources, right?
Yes, sir.
And we have resources. Our resource is the life of God.
Yes,
so a holy nation must be able to distribute that life. You see, distribute that life to everyone that is a child of God and that is still living on the face of the earth. Are we preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Now, it says that when we do this, we will show forth, you see, the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His. What are we going to show forth? His praises. So it means that the world should see the church and catch a revelation of the goodness of God. Are we saying that?
Yes, sir.
The world will see the church and catch a revelation of the goodness of God. They will see His praises. Sometimes that goodness will not mean appreciation. No. It can translate as persecution, actually. But the church, the world must see it. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
They must see His praise. Now, you see, the reason why we are not persecuted is that the world is not even seeing us in our nation. Like they see us in their nation. Like there is almost nothing you have becoming that you are becoming because of the church. The world knows that you have become all of this because of the world. But there is something we can become because of the church. Oh. So what is the church turning you to? What can you say you have and you are doing? Eh? That the world will say, this one did not come from us. Yeah. We don't have a budget for this. Yeah. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
So we must build a nation. A holy nation. The Glory Center Community Church must build a holy nation. Has to be a nation. It can't be church. It can't be Wednesday service. It can't be Sunday service. It has to be church. Rather, it has to be what? It has to be a nation. A nation. It has to be a nation. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
It has to be a nation. There has to be problems that get automatic solutions. You see, when you read all through the scripture is filled with how we should distribute our wealth, which is the life of God. Is anybody sick among you? Didn't he tell us what to do? That means we have an health care system. The point I'm saying is, I'm not saying abandon, because whatever is in the world is not Satan that created it. It's still our own. Because it's our Father's own. But we now have some that is reserved for us. It says, if anyone is sick among you, take him to the elders. There's nothing they didn't tell us to do. About how to raise our children. They tell us how to raise our children. It's like the Spirit of God has an answer to every issue in life. Now, we have to institutionalize all of that wisdom in our arrangements and in our living together. Are we together with me, friends? You see, that way it will be one of the, you see, that way it will be when we build this thing. You see, a lot of you don't even understand some things. One of the ministries that has built a strong nation is the Redeemed Christian Church of God. I tell you, at least at some point. You see, the way leaders in other church ministries can just divorce. You see, if you want to divorce and redeem those days, you will think well, because your life can crash. It's as though there will be a stigma. It's as though you cannot serve God again, because you are going to resign from many things. Ah. You will resign from a whole lot of things. You see, some people are in their marriages because they still want to be pastors. Say, ah. So if I leave this woman now, I won't be provincial pastor again. I tell you. Then, to marry again. Ah! You will be using style, even though you won't say it out, that the person you divorce will die. Say, Lord, when will this guy die like this? Because your ministry is on hold. Now, I'm not teaching today whether that is right or wrong. And I will never have a day when I teach it. You see? But my point, are you with me? Do you understand? You know, because nobody has a calling of judging another man's work. You understand? Especially if you are willing to live long. You focus on the one they sent you. You understand? Nobody sent me to look at Redeem's way of doing things and be judging it. Do you understand? Because when the angels were sent to them, you see, when God called them, I was not yet born. So I am irrelevant. You see, the only time I'm relevant is in my assignment. In another person's assignment, I'm irrelevant. Rather, I'm in trouble. Yes, if I poke nose into somebody else. So I prefer to stay in my assignment. But the point I'm making is this. And you also, mind your own business also. You will move faster in life.
Yes.
Do you understand? I tell you the truth, if you can mind your business, your speed will be serious. You understand? Just mind your business. Focus on yourself. Don't focus on anybody. Focus on yourself. Don't wait that God is judging some people who are not doing some things rightly. It might be you God is judging. You are not just aware. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
But my point is this. They picked some things in scripture and made it a culture. Huh? Yeah. They made a culture. That's why those churches are strong. You as old as you are, you still pay tight when you feel like. In those churches, when you don't pay tight, you see, you repent. A prophetic word can bring you out. You see, when it's a nation, can I tell you something?
Yes,
it means that there is a common way everybody acts.
Yes.
In a nation. Yeah. Well, there's a common behavior in a nation. There's a common behavior.
Yes.
That's why when you go to another country, you will calm down.
Yeah.
You have to calm down and find out how they are doing. Because if you don't find out, you see, you are getting closer to the jail. You understand? If you just get to America, for example, and then you just go somewhere to urinate on the road. Or you just see lizard and you just carry stone. You are stony lizard. Or you see one small place, you get table and put sweets there. I say, sweet, 2 for 5 naira, 2 for 5 naira. You have to calm down to learn how to behave in that nation. And you know, it has become a culture. So a nation must have a culture. A nation must have a what? A culture. It's a common way of behaving. And when you behave that way, you are going to enjoy. Do you understand? You would enjoy the good of that nation. It's like there is a road. They have created a road for us to enjoy the good. If you behave like this, you would enjoy the good. If you behave like this, you will enjoy the good. If you do like this, you will enjoy the good. So the word of the Lord must not be just a preaching. It must be converted to culture. A way of life. Are we together here? A way of life that governs every aspect of our lives. Am I preaching here? That's what makes it a nation. As a culture. So when you go to another nation, you have to learn it. That means you have to be slow. That's the reason why we say when you join Glory Center Come Church, you wait for 3 months. Don't rush into the workforce, because if you rush into the workforce, you will be offended. Yeah. If you just rush in, you'll just be offended and say, hello, Ashley, I want to serve God. You know, you guys. You have to watch the culture. You see? And the culture doesn't have the ability to respect anyone. You see, if you go to a Yoruba man's house, if you go to the king in the Yoruba land, you'll prostrate. Do you understand? If you don't know that they will prostrate, they will tell you that you should prostrate. If they now tell you and you still don't prostrate, you see, they won't understand. Eh? Would you understand? Culture does not understand. You understand? Like the Bible does not understand. You know, the Bible says be slow to speak and be swift to hear. Now, you know, there are some people who are naturally swift to speak and slow to hear. Does the Bible understand them? Like, I understand your case is different. Your speaking hormones are higher than your listening hormones. I don't know, is there anyone who's speaking hormones is higher than your hearing hormones? Raise your hand. You have high speaking hormones. And so it's after you speak, it's like even the next day you remember that you spoke. But you know, some of us speak more than the rest, actually, truthfully. But you know, the Bible is waiting for you, you see, to imbibe that word and let that word change you. It's not going to accommodate you like that. Do you understand? It's not going to understand you. It's just going to be patient with you, you see, to imbibe the culture. Now, if you now disobey that word, then you have a problem with the Lord. So there is culture in every nation. Culture. Somebody say culture.
Culture.
Say culture.
Culture.
Say culture.
Culture.
I can't hear you. Say culture.
Culture.
I can't hear you. Say culture.
Culture.
So in the Glory Center Community Church also there is culture. That's why, you see, sometimes some people, you see, will have to go to another church. I'm telling you. And I don't want you to have issues with anybody that goes to another church, you see, because if when somebody goes to another church and sometimes he's better than the person who wants to force I don't know if what I'm talking about, like, who wants to force and disagree and be offensive to the culture of the house. Do you understand? For example, if I say I love deeper life, I can't love deeper life and at the same time love my beard. I don't know what it's about. Now, I can't be forcing deeper life and say, you see, there's nothing about beards. You see, the beards were given by the Lord. You see, all those things, the Lord will soon be angry with you. You understand? So if I love my beard so much, I would maybe go to Guru Maharaji or just go somewhere. Do you understand? So the person who goes somewhere because of his beard, you see, and says, I really love my beard more than I love whatever is going on in this place. Like my beard, like with my beard, I will do more in life. You see, if you are that kind of person, it will be better for you. And you would have done well. Because the culture will not adjust. You see? The culture will not adjust. And then the culture will not allow you to be yourself. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
In that culture, there are many self you can be, but it will still be within the culture. Any self that will break the culture is a bad thing for the kingdom. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Am I making any sense here?
Yes, sir.
So it's a peculiar people that we should show forth. the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. Now, aside from culture, there are now tangible structures, you see, that are for the execution of the will of God, the distribution of the goodness of God. We must build that. We must, because every nation has tangible structures. Pastor, but you know what I think? If we are unable to build a culture, unable to build structures, then let's shut down. Why are we taking people out of the world and we're not bringing them into a new world? That means where they are coming from is more powerful than where we are bringing them in. So we have to prove that we're bringing them into what? A more powerful place. Praise God. So if there is no, for example, joy is a culture. Yeah. It's part of our culture in the kingdom. And it's better than what's in the world. So if people come to church and they don't have joy, then let's shut down. If people are happier in their soul in the world than in church, then what are we doing? Are we together? So you see that are you listening to me?
Yes,
our inability to build a nation is an indictment on us and is a threat on our existence. That should we truly be existing if we are not building a nation? The answer for me is a no. Are you with me? We have to build a nation. We have to build a nation. If God is in our midst, then it has to show with the culture that we manifest and the structures that we put down that aid the distribution of divine life. We have to. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All of you know, aside from the fact that you are beefing, all of you know that the children of Covenant University are better. If your father could pay the money, you would agree with me. But because your father can't pay, that's why you're arguing. They are better. They are better. The children, and it's not money. It's culture. Because there are other private universities that their children are very useless. Yeah. But the children of Covenant University are different. You see, when you say Covenant University, whether born again or not born again, you will see decorum.
Yes.
Right. Whether born again, in fact, they all look like born again.
Yes.
You would even assume that the guy is born again. There's a way they are.
Yes.
And they are all, you see, that thing Bishop says, high flyers. Those guys are truly high flyers. In ministry, in business, in everything, they are high flyers. It's because when they went to that school, there was a culture that was put in them. And the man kept fighting to retain the culture. And the ones that want to corrupt the culture, he sends them away. Any small thing has expelled them.
Yes.
Any small thing. You use two spoons instead of one. They will send you. Any small thing, the man has put you there. It's the sons of Belial, little devils. The sons of Belial, little devils. Because there is a culture. It's different. It's different. So we have to. I'm charging you. Do you understand? I'm not preaching. I'm charging you at this moment that we have to build a nation. I'm charging you. So you have to critically look at the culture of your church, for example. You see? And look at it as it corroborates scripture and begin to buy into the culture and begin to adjust to the culture. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
There is a culture. There is a culture. And the way I have pastored and led is to prove the culture. Yeah, I try to practicalize. You see, some of the things I do that are unnecessary, I do them to dramatize the culture. You see? Sometimes when you see me walking with glint and my hands are on the shoulder, I am dramatizing the culture. What's the culture? I'm creating a culture where there is no unnecessary rush and tension around the senior pastor. It's a culture. Because the people must be comfortable in their church, comfortable around their leader, and are not running helter-skelter like worms that have salt on them. Wow. There has to be that culture. It's a culture. It's a culture. I will almost never listen to anyone, you see, who comes and raises an allegation against his leader. Not because I don't think it's right or wrong, but there's a channel to get that done, you see, and there is a culture I'm trying to build that way. Because after a while, you are going to raise men pleasers who want the pastor to be happy with them, but their direct leaders they will dishonor. And so when dishonor only goes to those who are up, it means you have dishonor in your heart. So it's a culture I'm trying to build. I'm trying to build a culture where honor is common and honor is not for the few. Because that's dishonor. And that's the culture of our nation. So that the people who don't have, who look poor, are dishonored. But when the big man now enters, you see a very rude policeman who now sees the big man now becoming... And you're wondering, is that honor? That's not honor. That's eye service. Are you saying this? So there's intentionality in everything that we're doing because we want to build a culture. There's a culture of prayer. We've been praying every day for 8 hours, for 8 years. And I try to come every day. It's a culture. It means that if you don't love prayers, you're not a part of the church. That's what it means. I try to come every day. And when I come every day, I try not to dress up like it's a service. Because when we make prayer ceremonial, people are not praying. Because prayer is so needed that if you make it ceremonial, and ceremonies are not done daily, but we have to pray daily. So if I dress powerfully for prayer, I will corrupt what prayer looks like. So it will look like a ceremonial thing. And if I come once in a while, it will look ceremonial. So I try as much as I can to come daily. Because the battles of life are every day. Yeah. So prayers has to be every day. Yeah. So people must learn to pray without keyboard. You see, because there are not a lot of keyboards. And keyboards are expensive. You most likely won't put one in your house. You won't carry one along. And the battles of life are not waiting for you to come to church. So you must be able to pray on the go. The Bible teaches us that we should pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us that we should lift up holy hands everywhere, praying everywhere. It's a culture. Are you seeing this? You see, I'm off my head. I'm just mentioning different things that represent the culture of the house. Because it has to be a holy nation. Come on, can you say holy nation?
Holy nation.
Say holy nation.
Holy nation.
Come on, say holy nation.
Holy nation.
Say holy nation.
Holy nation.
Say holy nation.
Holy nation.
A peculiar people to show forth the praises of him who has called us. So there is a praise we want to show. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed by this?
Yes.
Come on, jam your hands together for the Lord. Give him praise. Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
Why a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should watch, show for the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. Now, look at the next verse. It says, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. We are now the people of God. We are a nation of God. Listen, you see, sometimes when we come to church, I want you to not only worship God personally, like you're just worshiping your lover. I want you to also accommodate that we are worshiping the King of this kingdom.
Yes.
You see, that was what I was doing this when I came this evening. I wasn't worshiping him personally as my lover. I was worshiping him as our king of our kingdom. So when Jesus comes together to worship, we're worshiping our God. Yeah. You get the point? We're worshiping our king, like our master. Our master. Our master. He's our master. He is our master. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just talking. He is our master.
Yes.
Get it? He is our master. Oh my goodness. He's our master. He is our master. How do I know? Because everything we're doing here is what we believe he has asked us to do. He's our master. He's our master. We don't have rights. Are you together with me?
Yes,
we just wait for him to say, do this, and we do it. And that's why a lot of you are doing what you are doing. You are serving the Lord. Because I asked you to do something, you're doing it. I said, be believers class ed, evangelism ed. You are believers class ed, evangelism ed. You see? It's not what you feel like doing or what you don't feel like doing. Why? Because there's a master who's leading us, who's telling us what to do. We just released some people to Ikorodu. Do you know what that means? Their life is taking a complete different turn. They can't come here anymore. Their life is... Some of the people we send there, Leko has been with me for close to 20 years. Yes. He's been with me for close to 20 years. He's been with me for 20 years. Deji has been with me for 20 years. But the kingdom, Pastor Deji, but the kingdom has rearranged everything. And now we have a master who tells us what to do. I tell you, as we begin to progress in the knowledge of our king, we will begin to submit to him more and more. Some of you will go to Gabon. I tell you the truth. You will go, you are in Gabon with your wife. I say, why are you here? The king of the heavens and the earth, who I met at the Glory Center Community Church, has sent me here. And I know that he has good for me here. And I just want to serve him here. Yeah. What is life if we are not serving the Lord? You see? What are you trying? I see you opening your eyes with your hands. Like he's literally opening your eyes like this. You know, what is life if we are not serving the Lord? What is life? How are we going to face him if when we were on earth, we never heard him? How? Are you sure you will be able to stay on that queue when he's looking at people face to face and judging what they have done and how they have lived? Do you want to face a God you never lived for? No, no, no. We don't want to face that kind of a God. No, no, no. We don't want to face him in that manner. We want to face him. And he can truly access how we lived our lives. And it's just that we did what he asked us to do. Yeah. He's our master. I tell you, listen, if there's something you need to know that maybe you don't know, is that he's our master. And I mean that very well. I tell you. I mean that very well. What I'm saying is that we're not trying to grow a ministry. We're just wanting to serve the Lord. I tell you. And a lot of people don't understand this. I tell you, there's a whole lot of people who don't understand this. And it's unfortunate that I'm not allowed to explain. Yeah. I'm not allowed to explain. I'm a teacher of the Bible, not an explainer of my intentions. No, no. When you're a servant of God, you're not allowed to explain your intentions. So what that means is that people are going to say a lot of things, you know, and malign your character and all things. You see, but when you start going to explain yourself, you see, you have taken up another job. I don't know if you've seen the scripture where they told us to explain ourselves. We're meant to preach Christ. And you see, anytime Paul explained himself, he usually used phrases of, allow me to be a fool. Like they force him
to say what he doesn't want to say. Especially in the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the church. He was saying a lot of things he didn't want to say. And they were around trying to explain himself and prove his legitimacy. You see, actually we're not allowed to do that. You understand? So if for example, if there's anyone here, maybe you think something about me, for example. Like that thing, you are going to think it for a long time. You see, because there will not be a day, you see, where I would try convince you otherwise. Do you understand? I'm not going to convince you otherwise. In fact, it will be looking like the truth. I'll be proving it. Say, ooh, in Kotode Sonenio, man, you're arrogant, God. I tell you, I will just be proving it to you. Do you understand? Because I'm not sent to explain myself. I'm sent to preach the word of the Lord. You see, but we are servants of the Lord. He's our master. And very soon, it's going to be everybody's master here. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody. You will take pleasure in just doing what God will have you do. I tell you the truth. It's the easiest way to live. I tell you the truth. Listen, the people who work for us, we can't understand it. When we go to the days of slave trade, the slaves live with lesser burdens. Yeah. Because it's the master that will think of a lot of things. The slave will just do what the master tells them to do. In this case, we have a good master. And we are his slaves. We are born servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? Born servants are servants who have been asked to go, but choose to stay. So it means that it's not that he forced us to stay. We just found out that this is the one who loves us the most. Yeah. I said, Kai, I want to say. Because whether you like it or not, you are a servant. Yeah. Either a servant of God, or a servant of Satan, or a servant of yourself. And Satan is not the deadliest, it's self. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
All right. We are officially done with the official time. So let's cross into the unofficial time. Give me 10 minutes. I won't use more than 10 minutes. The reason why I won't use more than 10 minutes is because I'm not a friend of frustration. So I won't frustrate. I won't start preaching and be frustrated that I didn't finish my message. It's my revelation. I know it. It's at work in me. So I can't want to do you good and still be frustrated. So I'll take my revelation. I'll take it back to my house. Take it back to my family. So don't think I'm trying. I'm not eager to finish my to finish it. It doesn't finish. Now, Psalm 105, verse 19. I thought I was going to be able to tell you five things. You know. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Oh, sorry, that's a mistake. Sam, what? Can you back it up a bit for me, please? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Who will say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you, Master.
Thank you, Master.
Back it up, please. Let's start from verse 1. Let's just start from verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among what? The people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he's done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant. Ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it. So you see, the command came when they were what? A few men in numbers. And what? Very few. Are you with me, friends? Are you with me? So the command didn't come when there were many. The command came when there were what? When there were few. So it means that if you don't know the command, when we are few, then we're not going anywhere. Ah. So it means that even now, oh my goodness, I'm giving you secrets. It means that even now, the command should be congealed in our midst. Yes. You know, it's like when you're cooking jollof rice. Those who really know how to cook jollof rice. I'm not talking of string things. But the real jollof rice, you see, you're going to make something like a stew like that. That stew will be congealed. Right? Yes. It will be thick, congealed. Yes. You see, if you take that stew raw, you can cut your throat. Yes. It's not good for you. You see, but that stew is the hope of the rice. If the stew, at that point, when no rice has been put, no water has been put, if it's not oversweet, your rice cannot come out well. Yes. If that stew is light, you are filled. You are filled. It is when we are filled that it should be congealed. Oh. When we are filled. It should be what? It should be congealed. It was when they were few. You see, that's why when people, you see, can clearly say what we stand for, when we are few, then we are doing the right things. If we are not criticized when we are few, we are not doing the right thing. There should be huge criticism when you are few. Because in that few state, the thing should be too congealed that it is offensive. The jollof rice is congealed. That stew is congealed. But after a while, when you have put water inside and put rice, when it enters everywhere, you will now find out, okay, this is why he should have been congealed now. Am I preaching here?
Yes.
When we were what, few in numbers. Yeah, very few. He had already released the covenant inside. So you see, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, we're already aware of what it will turn out to be. When they were just few in numbers. Yeah. And both Jacob and Joseph told the children of Israel not to bury their bones. You see, even though they were few, they were living in the covenant. Are you with me? I'm living in the covenant. I'm living in the covenant already. So that's why the spirit, the teachings, look like they are congealed. You know, I was speaking to my father-in-law, who is a man of God. And we're talking, and he made a statement in passing, you know, that, because I was sharing some testimonies that God was doing for us in the house. And he said, why won't God do it? I didn't even know he was following us. He said, you guys, we do 21 days. You will do 40 days. He said, you think it's for joke? He said, you think you consecrate yourself for 40 days every day and God will fold your hands, a nice one? He said, no. He said, you are going to have to see the hand of God move. You'll miss. It's not. It's not a natural thing to pack a church, to fill a church for 21 days, morning and evening, and get it packed every evening. Hundreds of people every evening is unnatural. You see, no pastor feels like doing it. It's not just that no pastor who desires it. It's not that no it's not a desire. That's what I mean. You don't want to. It's an unnatural thing. Not in the farm. Not like people just come from their farm and work. We're talking of in Lagos, where there are different traffic different traffic points. If you escape Agidingbi, beggar might catch you. If you escape, they are different. Sometimes you think you go to church early until you just pause at Omoli, and then you find out that you are an hour late. Yeah, it's unnatural. It's the glory of God. Is the Spirit of the Lord. So you see, when people say, church every day, see, don't be angry with them. Because you are not doing something natural. Somebody asked me, how have you been doing it? See, the itinerary has been crazy in recent times. He said, boom, boom. How are you doing it? I don't know. It's the grace of God. But beyond that, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There is a congealed commandment. When we are what? When we are few. Thank God we follow through. Yeah. You know the services will be their last service in a long time. Yeah. Yeah, they're traveling. You see, it's not about traveling. There's no success about traveling. But there is success about progressing in the will of God for your life. I'm moving to the next phase. But you see, if they were not faithful, they won't have this phase. Not that they won't go to Canada, but they won't go like this. They won't go like this. They won't go with this witness of the Spirit. They won't go with this release, with this laying on of hands, with the prayer of the church, with the sending of the church. Isn't it a beautiful way to move? Yes. I want to move like this. Yes. This is a beautiful way to move. Where you are moving and you know that the Spirit of the Lord, you know that it's not just men that will take your luggage. That angels are waiting to take your luggage. Yeah. Like your file is being transferred. And another angel has picked it up and checked, okay. Where did you stop from? Okay. So we're meant to pick it up from here. I tell you. But it takes commitment to the commandment of the Lord, to the word of the Lord. When they were what? Few. So you see, when you despise when you are few, it's because you don't even have a covenant. And you don't have commandment from God. You see. When you despise it. A lot of people despise it. They don't really have a covenant. Listen, I don't despise. See, the biggest meetings I've gone for in my life is the meetings that go on here. The Glory Center Community Church. This is the biggest meeting. This is the best meetings. This is the greatest place I want to be. I have never felt better anywhere in life. I've never gone anywhere and I felt better. I tell you, I've never. Anywhere I go, I try. To love the brethren. Yeah, I try not to be arrogant. I try to dance the way they are dancing. I just try to say we are one. It's a family. It's one church. I try so that I can be a Christian. You see? But it doesn't feel like it.
Yes.
You see? It doesn't feel like it. It's different. Yeah. It will always be different. When there were few. Uh, Some people are already insulting me in their mind because I'm taking time. The Lord, I'll ask the Lord not to forgive you. You see, they say, it's those ones. I can hear them. I hear things. When I'm preaching, I hear. What's wrong with you? Say, Pastor, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. So sometimes when you check the kind of testimonies you're having, it's because the Lord is doing something. Yes. You see, they were the one moving from nation to nation. They didn't have a country, but they had signs there that countries who are established don't have. They had signs countries who are established don't have. Are you receiving this prophetic download? I'm releasing a prophetic download. I'm listening. So today's preaching is like I'm installing a major part of the architecture of this house. That's what I'm installing to you. He reproved kings for their sakes. Alright? Saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He break the whole staff of bread. COVID was a type of famine that he called. When God called COVID, we progressed as a church. It's one of the things I'm grateful for this church is COVID. Yeah. COVID was one of the greatest blessings we experienced as a church. Yes, COVID was so powerful. A lot of ministry, even the music ministry of this church was birthed in COVID. Inside me was sung in COVID. My praises every day was sung in COVID. Almost all, a lot of our song, Hallelujah, Hosanna, it was COVID. A lot of the songs were sung in COVID. Our studio was set up in COVID. We did a lot in COVID. By the time we came back from COVID, we couldn't even, everywhere was packed. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. It was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. So maybe we'll pick it up here. No. It's the only unfortunate thing is that when we pick it up here on Sunday, we also will not finish it. But the Lord will help us. Amen. Lift up your right hands and pray to the Lord. Your right hands. Talk to the Lord. Your right hand. Just talk to him. Talk to him as your king. Talk to him as your king. He is listening to you. He is listening to you. Tell him you are living for him and he alone. Tell him to install in you the right heart. The right heart to serve and to live for the Lord. Deliver you from self, deliver you from flesh. So just live for Jesus. He hears you. Oh, Father, give us this new fire. Give us this new passion. Let us take pleasure in living for you. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are your subjects. What a privilege. We are your subjects. We are your sons and daughters, but we are your subjects. Oh, thank you. In the days where you need men, which are these very days, find us, Lord. Find us, Father. Find us, Father.